It's Talk of the Town. Today is the Thursday Roundtable. Talk of the Town is sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now let's open up the mics. Here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
Well, I hope you all had a really nice Thanksgiving. We were able to take the day off and spend Thanksgiving with friends and family, and it was an enjoyable evening of eating, mostly. And for those of you that have seen a little bit extra around the middle section, we will give you some food for thought here during your Talk of the Town, which is sure not to put any calories on you, but maybe raise an eyebrow or two. Anyway, this is the round table. And so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we've got not just one, but two supervisors from the Yavapai County Board here with us. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about some government stuff. And then, yes, we are going to beat that dead horse regarding the election results. I came up with some new numbers, and I'm still scratching my head. Maybe y'all can help me figure this out. But in the meantime, let's take a quick break, and we will be back with more live Talk of the Town, KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and on the web at kqna.com. We'll be right back.
Happy holidays, Northern Arizona.
This is Dave Barrett. On behalf of everyone at Barrett Propane, I'd like to sincerely thank all of our loyal customers for trusting us, a local company, to be your propane gas provider. Please remember that we're here for you and we're ready to serve you throughout this holiday season. Old friends and new, for all your propane needs, call us today at 636-1600 or log on to barrettpropane.com. Happy holidays from Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Merry Christmas.
So what do you have planned for the second Saturday of every month? That's right, the second Saturday of every month. Well, get out your calendar and mark down smoked St. Louis ribs at Prescott Brewing Company. Served all day, all night, a nice stack of ribs, surrounded by house-made cowboy beans, coleslaw, and a green chili cheddar cornbread muffin. Roxanne here. Did I say second Saturday of every month? Smoked barbecue St. Louis ribs for only $16.99. Right here at Prescott Brewing Company, downtown Prescott.
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals. Olson's Bucks. Olson's Bucks? What in the world are Olson's Bucks? Well, every time you shop at any one of our stores in Chino, Prescott, Dewey, Flagstaff, or Clarkdale through November, you'll qualify to pick up some Olson's Bucks. Save them up, and you'll be able to bid on some really nice items at our auctions in early December, just in time for Christmas. Auctions will be held on Wednesday, December 5th for the Prescott area, and December 6th in Clarkdale and Flagstaff. See your favorite Olson's store for details. Every year for the past 32 years, we've brought Santa and pets together for Christmas pictures, no matter whether they've been naughty or nice. Pictures with Santa are a tradition here at Olson's, and this year we've got Two Shots Photography taking the pictures. You just pick one of several backgrounds, and they'll work hard to get just the right pose, and you can be included if you want. $5 from every package will be donated to local animal charities. Santa will be sliding down the chimney and waiting for you at the following Olson's: Prescott on Saturday, December 1st, Chino Saturday, December 8th, and Dewey on Saturday, December 15th, and no appointments are necessary. Good enough just isn't. Ho, ho, ho!
Is your advertising being noticed? Getting the right attention means getting the right business. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we focus not only on customer service, but also highest quality printing and design that is sure to catch the eye. A&E Reaper Graphics knows how to design, print, and deliver what you're looking for in your time frame. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 Whites Bar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And we are back, and joining us live in studio is Supervisor Tom Thurman from the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors. And Tom has brought with him a very special guest. He is Supervisor Randy Garrison from the very same Yavapai County Board. It's nice to have both of you with us today.
I appreciate to be here.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. So what's on your mind? I got plenty on my mind, but I'll hear you out.
Your mind is always full of something. I don't know what it is. But
I'll hear you out first.
We had a symposium today, actually, on criminal justice and mental health. And I'm going to use that as a segue, talking about the need for more jail space. I can tell you right now, Prescott creates, or this side of the mountain creates, 2/3 of the criminal activity. And we have a jail over in the Verde Valley. Well, at the time, the board that was here, that was the only place that there wasn't too many people that didn't want it in their backyard, so they ended up putting it there. But we're still having the problem. It's costing this county $1.5 million to $2 million a year to transport people back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's very, very expensive and time-eating for our judges and for families and everybody. And so we got to look someday, at building a jail on this side of the mountain. We've talked about it before. We've gone to the public twice, crashed and burned both times to pay for it with sales tax. And so we're now, how are we going to do this? Well, with the costs being so high of transporting back and forth, it really makes no sense. We can go out and bond and build a new jail for about half the cost of just the payment on that bond, just in the savings and transportation.
And would you be looking like Sundog Ranch area?
It's Prescott Lakes Parkway, right. Yes. And we have property there. We bought the old bunker property there quite a few years ago for quite a few million, but it's prime property next to our juvenile detention. So we've always been looking at when do we need to pull the cord on that or get her going. And so we're at a point now where we have diversionary programs. And these diversionary programs, if someone has mental issues or we even suspect that they do, they actually get Spectrum or Taros or West Yavapai or one of these health groups actually does a study on this person to say, okay, do they need to go to jail or do they need mental health? Mm-hmm. And we're finding out about half of them really need mental health. They didn't rob a bank. They didn't, steal a car or whatever. They may be standing at Circle K and talking to themselves and yelling obscenities or something. And in the old days, they were arrested. That's just how it goes. So now with these diversionary programs, we can come in and say, okay, this person, may be homeless. It may not be. Maybe on drugs or maybe bipolar, schizophrenic, da-da-da-da-da. And so we've cut our population growth in the jail to squat. We've been staying right around 500 inmates, even though the population and the use of that jail has increased. We've been keeping overnighters down to about 500 to 550.
And the capacity is what?
The capacity is 620. However, because of classifications, you can't have a biker with a pedophile.
Right.
Men with women. You can't have murders with DUIs, things like that. So at 550, we are about 50 people sleeping on the floor. That's today. By the time you hire an architectural firm, draw the plans, come to the needs assessment, draw the plans, and actually go out to bid on this thing, it takes 2 years. Something this large, it's a $34 to $40 million project, takes another good 2 years to build it. So we're looking at 4 to 5 years down the road if we started today. And so, you know what? This board has voted to start looking at an architectural firm so we really know what it's going to cost. A couple of years ago, we had the Chin Study, which was a total independent group that came in and did research and a needs assessment on the programs that we have going and how we can speed those up and thin those out and also what we need for the future. And the Chin Study says we need a new jail now. Now is not happening. It just takes too long to do it. So this board right now has given permission to create a committee to go out and vet an RFQ, not an RFP, but an RFQ, a request for qualifications, of a architectural firm. And we are also looking at a construction manager at risk to build the place. This is very commonly done now by ADOT. And what that is you actually are putting on board to help with the plans with the architectural firm to keep costs down. And so we've created a committee. They're still working on it right now, just coming up with the language for the RFQ. And we'll just go from there.
Now, is there a financial impact being felt by Yavapai County, either from having to house inmates from outside the county or having inmates from our county being housed elsewhere in order to cope with the shortage of space?
The last stat I saw on that was about 22% to 24% of the people in our jail are from out of this county. So the bulk of them really are from this county. It's very expensive to have to transport back and forth, and that's what we're trying to.
And in the past, we actually had room in the jail where the sheriff was actually very enterprising in going out and getting the feds and Border Patrol and different agencies to utilize our space so that we could make money on the facility with our empty space. But we are so full that there isn't capacity anymore to be able to do that in a safe manner. So one of the things, you know, I want to bring up with that Tom touched on, and it's the same argument we heard when we went after the extension of the jail tax was, do you really need this tax? Do you really need this jail? Do you really have these issues? And I can guarantee you we do. You know, you heard, well, if you didn't put all the people in jail, in our jail at least, that had a marijuana cigarette on them, then you wouldn't need this extra space. Well, we don't have those people. We have people in jail that are supposed to be in jail. That the sheriff and our mental health agencies have done an absolutely phenomenal job of turning our jails really back into what it is, as a jail and not a mental health facility. And we're getting rid of those people. In the Verde Valley, we have this great program that's run by Spectrum Health, and we have a mobile crisis unit. And so when our fire department's out on the scene or our sheriff's out on the scene or any of the local agencies are out there dealing with a person that they feel has an issue, whether they're on drugs and shouldn't be, or they're off of drugs and should be, or they just have a problem, they call this mobile crisis unit out there. They're out there within minutes. They identify this person. They evaluate them, and they decide how to process that person forward without hopefully going to jail. That last year, there was 1,400 interactions between this mobile crisis unit and our emergency first responders. Of that 1,400, 7 people went to jail. That's so when you're talking $500 to put somebody in jail just to book them, and you're talking $140 a night to keep them in jail when they really shouldn't have been put there in the first place, we're doing absolutely everything we can to keep the cost down and keep the people out of jail that don't need to be there so we can help them get the help they need and put them back into society in a responsible
including veterans.
I'm just curious, Randy, what the impact is in your mind for law enforcement having I-17 going through your area, because obviously you bring in a lot of traffic that is headed through the area, and there's been quite a bit of news made about, you know, drug seizures and things like that that tend to take place when you have an interstate highway running through your territory, as you do in the Verde.
Well, and not only I-17, which comes through our district, but then we got I-40 on the other end that goes through Craig's district, Craig Brown. So, everybody wants a piece of that pie, because anytime you can do those busts, you get that money put back into your community, into your district, into your department. So that's why you'll see a lot of agencies having cars out on that interstate. With us, with the jail, I don't think it's as big an impact as people think, because those, even though they tend to be very newsworthy and a lot of money and a lot of drugs, there's often very few people associated with that. It's one or two. So that makes up part of that 20 to 24% of the population that Tom was talking about earlier.
And I got to remind folks, and Randy alluded to it a little bit earlier, at any given time, it's roughly 95% of the people that are in our jail are for a felony. They're not there for a misdemeanor. Most misdemeanors go between 1 and 4 nights. It's for felonies. I know that Representative David Stringer is just put on a committee to try to reduce jail sentences. We're hopefully he can come with something that he thinks he can cut our jail population in half. I don't know how they plan on doing that down in Phoenix, but at our point here, when you have a felony, I don't want to be known as a county that's easy on felons. You know, you do the crime, you're going to pay the time, like it or not. If you're a druggie, that's completely different. And we have drug courts, we have vet courts, we do everything for the help of those kids, the older folks that are hooked. We'll do whatever we can. But you know, if you went out and robbed a liquor store or carjacked or something, you need to do some time. And I can't express myself strong enough that we're out of room, even with all these diversionary programs. We're out of room. When you get 50 people sleeping on the floor, excuse me, we got to start looking for the future.
And Sheriff Masher on this show, in fact, talked to me about how put upon they are at the Sheriff's Department with regard to spending a lot of time trying to diagnose people's mental issues with regard to, you know, law enforcement. And the numbers that you guys quoted here is that, what, half of the people in the jails are basically there because of some sort of mental health issue.
And that's why we've cut that way down. You got to understand, too, recidivism. Everybody in this state, in other states, too, are looking at Yavapai County right now because the typical recidivism rate is about 60%. That means of everybody that we incarcerate, 60% comes back, does another crime, comes back, right? This last quarter, we've dropped it to the 20 to 15% rate, right?
Really?
This last quarter, we went down to 6%.
Get out of here, really?
6%. We're the only county that has rates that low. That's what we're doing to help everybody. And so, I can pat myself on the back and Randy.
But I'll do it for you. That's really great
it
news.
It is. It's, you know, and you have to understand is that in the old days, and even today some, mental health was considered, it was almost like you did it yourself to yourself. You got to deal with it. You know, you go to the hospital, you have a heart attack, they come in to help you right now, even if it's your third heart attack, right? But if you go in there with a mental problem and you're suicidal or something, it's like you're at the back of the line. And so we got to change that thought pattern.
We got to take a quick time out. We will be right back with Yavapai County Supervisors Tom Thurman and Randy Garrison. They are in studio and live on Talk of the Town, KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and on the web at kqna.com. We'll be right back.
At Sherrick Insurance in Cottonwood, we don't fudge when it comes to your coverage, but we'll give you fudge just for getting a quote from us. This is David Goldstein, and with every quote, we'll give you a card for free homemade fudge from Verde Valley Olive Oil Traders. Get a sweet treat and qualified coverage from a solid company like Safeco. Stop by our office at 657 East Cottonwood Street or call 567-0335. Let's save you some money and hand you some yummy. Sherrick Insurance, 567-0335.
Everyone's talking about Augie's Restaurant.
Augie's has the best appetizers and the best martinis ever.
It's got a really great atmosphere, a real homey feeling when you go in there. They got a great service staff that takes care of you from when you walk in to when you leave.
It's warm, it's friendly, it's fun, it's home away from home.
Chef Joel, best chef ever.
Check out Augie's. It's the place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
Now that it's finally cooled down outside, let's spruce up the yard. Prescott Dirt has the boulders, the rock, the topsoil. Oh yeah, we'll help you make your yard the talk of the town. I'm Sam with Prescott Dirt. We've been making the community beautiful since the early 90s with the best prices for landscaping materials along with the best service around. Come on, come see me at Prescott Dirt. We have locations in Prescott and Prescott Valley, and you can get lots of information at prescottdirt.com.
We did it again. Cliff Castle Casino has been voted the number one casino in Arizona for 19 years in a row. All casinos have slot machines and table games. What they don't have is the level of commitment to guest satisfaction, friendly team members, and a warm and welcoming environment found at Cliff Castle Casino. Visit CliffCastleCasinoHotel.com today and plan your visit. Come and experience everything we have to offer and see why Cliff Castle Casino is number one and the perfect place to play.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And we are back live here at KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and we're live on the web at kqna.com. I'm Sanford Cohen, and joining me in studio is Supervisor Tom Thurman from the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors, and he's brought with him his fellow supervisor, Randy Garrison, represents primarily Verde Valley and Sedona. So it's a good news, bad news situation. The 6% recidivism rate is unheard of, and so being able to get involved with with counseling and intervention and so forth, keeping people from going to jail when really what they need is they need counseling. That's the good news. The bad news is that we're seeing an uptick in incidents of drug abuse and even suicide. Is that what you learned today?
Suicide rates here are terrible. We had a symposium today on the criminal justice and health here in Yavapai County, and the suicide rate in Yavapai County per capita is almost twice of that of the rest of the state, and it's sad. And it's not just young people.
So wait a minute, we're leading the way in that statistic.
We're leading the way in suicides, and it's up. And the stats go from 10 years old to 85, and so it's not just young people. It's older folks. You know, they're lonely. We got to remember, you know, we are really a retirement community.
How much of this involves drugs, would you think?
Well, part of it probably drugs, but we also have a very high veteran suicide population or risk.
I don't know. You know, you don't know at the end of the day what would cause somebody to be that far along that's their only option. I know, you know, one of the things having Fort Whipple here and the VA hospital out there is somewhat of a problem because they have a fairly healthy reputation for their service. And so they bring a lot of people into this community from out of state that come here to get the services. But once they have the services, they don't have the wherewithal to get back to where they were. So they end up staying in this community. And you know what the housing's like here. I mean, the availability of housing, the cost of housing. This isn't a great place to be a vagrant or be homeless. And so, you know, you just get to a point where you don't find that there's really routes out or help at the end of the day to make sure you can get that foot up and get back into society and create some type of a meaningful existence. And so we have different groups here in Prescott specifically that are going out of their way to create more space for keeping those people inside and keeping them in a home and help them get them back into the job market or at least get them in place of the services that they need. But at the end of the day, there just isn't enough.
Yeah. And unfortunately, for a lot of those folks, the only contact they have with the outside world might be someone from Meals on Wheels, and that's it. Otherwise, they're living totally in isolation, and it's really hard to, find a way to go out and get a hold of these people before they have a chance to do themselves some harm, and that is a shame.
And it is, as we have, you know, we're the third oldest population in the state by median age. Yavapai County is, and we're on task to be number one. And like you said, Meals on Wheels, sometimes that's the only people the visit they get for a week is that person bringing one meal to their home. That's just not a good existence. So, you know, we got to figure out a better way to start helping people socialize. And you know, one of the discussions and what's been ongoing recently is transit. You know, transit is seen by government as this huge black hole. But at the end of the day, that is the only way some of these people get to socialize. It is getting them out of their house, getting them to a community center, getting them to someplace else where they can interact with others and get them out of that house, because they don't have the ability to have a car or have transportation or have a family member that will drive them somewhere. So, you know, that's always a big fight. You know, how do you fund this? But at the end of the day, you got to figure out how, you know, what it's being used for and the public benefit back to us by having that available.
I know that one of the problems that generally plagues county government is the fact that a lot of illegal drug activity takes place out in the far unincorporated areas of the county. And so there's, you know, a burden on law enforcement to some degree to, you know, keep after these people. And now it appears that some of that those drugs have made their way into just the mainstream here in Yavapai County. We've reported some recent unfortunate deaths of young people from taking this fake fentanyl that has shown up. And it just really it's gotten to the point now, I think, guys, when, you know, if you're at a party and somebody tries to offer you a pill, you just can't take it. I don't care how much of a party pooper they're going to point their fingers at. You just can't do it. You don't know
peer pressure
what it
is. Tough when you're a teenager. Peer pressure is tough. And we have not only fentanyl here, and I can read this to you here. According to the DEA, fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that is 50 to 100 times stronger than morphine. Now we got a new one coming in called carfentanil. And what that is, it's they're saying it's a synthetic opioid approximately 10,000 times more potent than morphine. This is getting out of hand. And you're trusting some drug maker in his garage in Mexico, most of it's coming out of Mexico, to that you're taking the correct amounts are going into these things? Really, folks? Really?
And it's, you're talking a grain of salt. You know, that's how much makes a difference. It, you know, so you take a pill the size of an aspirin. I mean, you just can't. I mean, it isn't the 70s anymore. It isn't the 60s. I mean, it's just gotten so dangerous. You just really have to go back to Nancy Reagan, you know, just learn to say no. And you're going to have some personal responsibility. And as Tom said, when you're younger population, that's very difficult.
I mean, as tragic as some of these situations are, I really feel like in order for these lives to have not been lost in vain, I think it's necessary to, you know, to let other kids know that this has happened. And because a lot of times when you have a situation like that, you want to kind of downplay it and not, you know, cause any distress to the family and friends and so forth. But I think it's really a matter of, you know, utmost importance that the young people in this community know that this is what happened, and they shouldn't allow themselves to become another potential victim.
I think part of the problem is if you look at our recent past, you know, marijuana has been the calling card for law enforcement, for our judicial system, is, you know, say no to marijuana, you know, stop at the marijuana. We got to fight marijuana in you know, recreational form. We got to fight it in medical form. We got to fight marijuana because that's the gateway to all things happening. And the whole time we're fighting marijuana, we're losing kids to heroin, to opium, to fentanyl, to all these other drugs, because we're refusing to, in some ways, to recognize and actually make people aware. So I really have to hand it to the sheriff's office. I mean, they just put those newspaper articles in highlighting the people that are spreading this drug through your community. We have to quit hiding our heads in the sand and saying this doesn't exist, or we don't want to talk about it because it's uncomfortable. We need to know, we need to let people know this is affecting families. It's affecting lives. We're losing people. And it's a huge problem for our community. So we really got to jump on it.
And we only got a couple minutes left. Let's get back to the jail here. So now you guys are getting together with an architectural firm to get an idea as to what design would work on the site, or what the cost would be.
Well, this company that we hired as a third party or independent party, has told us what we needed. So we're going to be looking at this to build the smallest that we can get away with to start, but make it expandable.
Okay.
Okay, and so if we can do that.
Well, that's what the Verde was supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to put like, supposed to add on like modular jail cells to
there's just not a lot of room left. And,
right.
And it's the transportation costs. You know, sure. It's always Murphy's Law. You try to do the best that you can, and they did at that time. And now the transportation costs are getting out of hand. So that's kind of silly. And then plus, if we build a new jail over here, that'll relieve pressure where the sheriff is right now over on Gurley Street. And we can open up, we figured the other day, 16,000 square feet will be opened up there. So adult probation can get larger and have room to grow. Same with the county attorney. And have a courtroom for initial appearances and things like that over there.
Is there an element for, let's say, supervised incarceration, somebody in their home with the ankle bracelet and all that stuff as an alternative to being housed in a jail? Is that something that's part of the strategy?
We do it all the time. We do it all the time.
Yeah, that's deferred incarceration. Common. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's public.
Well, we could easily do another hour, but we've all got places to go. So are you going to stick around? Yeah. Tom's going to stick around.
We got lots of other things.
Randy and Brandy, they've got to mosey on. Thank you very much for stopping in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity. Appreciate it.
I know sometimes you'll get in with Casey Rooney, and we'll get you on from Cottonwood one
That'd
of these
good.
Days. All right, Randy Garrison, supervisor for Yavapai County, and Tom Thurman's going to stick around. We're going to come back after the news. We've got more to talk about regarding the election. You think it's over? It's not over. Stick around. There's more to say here on Talk of the Town. KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and on the web at kqna.com. We're back after the news.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service, Sales, and Rentals, and we're proud to be a long-time local business with three locations to serve you. Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley and Dewey, and online all the time at AffinityRV.com. Affinity
RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
Arizona Coyotes Hockey is live on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM and 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, KQ&A. Arizona Coyotes Hockey is brought to you this season by Parshala Wood, Brown Bag Burger, Prescott Valley Heating and Cooling, and Cowboy Country Antiques.
He'll shoot! He scores!
The Arizona Coyotes visit the Nashville Predators live Thursday night at 6 on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM in Prescott and Chino Valley and 99.9 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.
Your heart deserves state-of-the-art care. And with the James Family Heart Center, the heart healing services you need are close to home. We offer personalized care and innovative technology in an environment that promotes surgical excellence. Our heart specialists provide a comprehensive array of care, from open heart surgery and interventional procedures to therapies to correct heart rhythm disorders. And now, we proudly perform transcatheter aortic valve replacement, a revolutionary procedure for people who require an alternative to traditional valve replacement surgery. From the skilled hands of our physicians to our investment in facilities, technologies, and preventive care, the James Family Heart Center at YRMC West is state-of-the-art care for the state of your heart. Talk to your heart specialist about the James Family Heart Center or visit us online at yrmc.org.
We're KQ&A.
Prescott Brewing Company's 25th annual November Sausage Month starts November 1st and runs all month long. I don't have enough time in a 30-second announcement here, but think yummy house-made Italian sausage, beer-braised bratwurst, and Dewey Hero Sub, a different entree each week of the month. At only $12.99, you can enjoy all four. Check our website or Facebook page for the full rundown, or give us an old-fashioned phone call at 771-2795. Prescott's hometown brewery, Prescott Brewing Company, in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Happy holidays, Northern Arizona.
This is Dave Barrett. On behalf of everyone at Barrett Propane, I'd like to sincerely thank all of our loyal customers for trusting us, a local company, to be your propane gas provider. Please remember that we're here for you and we're ready to serve you throughout this holiday season. Old friends and new, for all your propane needs, call us today at 636-1600 or log on to BarrettPropane.com. Happy holidays from Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Merry Christmas.
What are your favorite things about the holidays? I bet cleaning doesn't even make the list. Let Made to Order help you enjoy your free time to the fullest. No more making excuses to guests. When they tell you how clean your house is, tell them you called Made to Order. Or not, it can be our little secret. Made to Order has cleaned over 3,000 area homes. We're trustworthy, flexible, reliable, and guaranteed. Get a start on your holiday housework. Call Made to Order today at 899-8518 or online at PrescottMadeToOrder.com.
You do your best to protect your loved ones, and while you may keep a fresh battery in your smoke detector and have a reliable home security system, there's a whole different type of protection you may be missing. A life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance is a way to safeguard your loved ones now and in the future. Meet with your local independent agent and secure a policy today to protect theirs tomorrow. Hi, this is Corey Roseman with House Chilson Insurance. We are one of the only locally owned independent insurance agencies in Prescott. Come see us today at 400 White Spire Road or call 445-4600.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And we are back for the second half of Talk of the Town live on KQ&A. Tom Thurman sticking around. And so since you're sticking around, Supervisor Thurman, I'd like to
Say that derogatory.
I want to tell you a little story.
Yeah, all right.
So just hang in there, and then I'm going to ask your comments about this.
All right.
Now, this segment of Talk of the Town is called Beating a Dead Horse. And so we're going to do that, but with impunity. First of all, I went back and I looked at the Secretary of State's website to look at the voting totals in our state, and there were a couple of glaring things that came to my mind that made me scratch my head and go, why isn't anybody doing anything about this? So let's look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie. The people putting in the numbers might lie, but the numbers themselves don't. So here's the thing that I came up with that I'm just scratching my head about. The race for Senate between Kyrsten Sinema and Martha McSally and the Green Party candidate. The three of those people together, there were a total of 2,383,742 votes for those three candidates. However, for governor, between Doug Ducey and David Garcia and write-ins or whatever, only a total of 2,325,204 ballots were cast. So what they expect us to believe at the state elections office is that 58,538 people in Arizona voted for Senate but did not vote for governor. That makes no sense to me. That would be a red, bright red neon sign, fire truck on fire, red sign that there is something wrong. I would want to go back and I would want to look at those 58,538 ballots that did not vote for governor and see if there's any other irregularities about this. Now, let me complete my analysis and then we will go to you. There were 51,226 more ballots cast for the Secretary of State. I'm sorry, there were 51,226 fewer ballots that were cast for Secretary of State.
Versus what?
Versus U.S. Senate.
Okay.
61,618 for Attorney General. 84,504 for superintendent of schools.
Less.
So yeah. So I'm saying to myself, self, if I cared about a fair and honest counting of the votes, the 58,538 vote difference between Senate and governor, the margin of victory for Kyrsten Sinema was 55,900. It more than covers it. I don't understand how 58,000 people in this state could vote for Senate without voting for governor, and nobody is saying, hey, this is a problem. Now, I'm putting myself in the shoes of Martha McSally, and I'm saying, well, I'm probably going to get appointed to the unexpired term.
If Kyle doesn't run.
If Kyle doesn't continue, which right. he's already said right. on the record, he's not going to go beyond the end of the year. Okay. So I'm Martha McSally. I didn't win, but I'll probably get this thing. So why make a federal case out of it? Pun totally intended with regard to this. So I ask you, in your analytical mode, how do you get 58,538 people in Arizona
that only voting voted for the Senate
only voted but the not Senate. Voting for governor? Or, how do you do that?
Hardly any of the rest.
How does that happen?
Well, it can happen when you have folks that could care less about the Republican ticket and they cared more about voting for Sinema. And so they knew that Republicans were going to win. They were shoo-in on a lot of those other races, so they just voted where they thought their vote counted. Now, that is one philosophy. The other philosophy I have a problem with is it seems squirrely that there was a 500,000 votes that Maricopa County had to look at. 500,000 votes out of, I think Maricopa County put in 1.2 million. That's almost half. That they had all this time, even they had a lot of mail-ins, just like we do here. Now, they don't have as high a status percentage that we do, but they have a lot. You can't tell me, are they that far behind, really, that almost half had to be counted on a ballot-by-ballot basis? I hate to say fake news. I hate to say a lot of things, but it just... It's kind of flying like a duck. It looks like a duck. It smells like a duck. I
know there's nothing we can do about it. It's over. It's done. It's certified. The challenger
right.
has
They're
the
certified.
You know the concession speech has already been given. It's a done deal.
Yes.
I would be, of course, in the interest of palace intrigue, I would be just wondering out loud, what if Doug Ducey appoints someone other than Martha McSally to that seat if John Kyle decides not to run?
What if he appoints himself?
Well, he won't do that.
He has the power to do that.
I know,
that
he won't do that. He just got reelected.
I know,
it'd
be
that.
Stupid.
Yeah, he won't do that. He just got reelected, so he won't do that.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing that shapes up that is kind of an interesting sidelight to all of this, and that is... Be it Martha McSally or whoever that gets appointed to that seat at the end of 2018, they're going to have to run in a special election in 2020.
That's correct. They're only there for 2 years.
And then they're going to have to run for that seat again in 2022.
Because that was the seat that ended. Yeah,
and then Sinema's seat is going to be up for election in 2024.
Right.
So every 2 years between now and 2024, we are going to have a U.S. Senate seat on the election ballot.
And we have all the congressional House seats. We have all our local House and Senate seats. We have the presidential race. You have the County Board of Supervisors, the sheriff, the public, I mean, the county attorney. The county superintendent, everything is coming up again in 2020. I look at it like this. We just, in my opinion, went through one of the most ridiculous election cycles I can remember. It was so nasty is the best word I can think of it. I don't want to go through that again. I'm afraid that's going to be nothing compared to what it is about a year from now.
Yeah, the level of character assassinations that took place, not just here
We're
in Arizona,
liars.
But nationwide.
Yeah,
nationwide.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It was just hideous. And the thing is, when you have a candidate that stands up there very, you know, with a halo over their head and says, I am looking to reach over to the other side and I want to, we need to talk more and we need to understand and find common ground. And then as soon as they get elected, the next day is like, they're all a bunch of rah, 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 rah. And then the whole tribal thing starts all over again. They just say whatever they want to in order to get elected, and then they go to their neutral corners. So I guess in that spirit, I would hesitate to ask, how does the state of Arizona stand right now? Because we have a Republican governor. We have a Democrat secretary of state. We have a Democrat superintendent of public instruction. We have a Republican attorney general. We have a majority Republican legislature for the time being. We do have a majority Democrat congressional delegation. And so if there was ever a blueprint or a shining example for the world of bipartisanship, it would be right here in Arizona.
10 years ago, you say that, you'd be shot.
I know.
You're turning purple, you know?
I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying
It is what it is. And you know, but my life of looking at politics, it's cyclical. You know, it seems like the Democrats are the majority for a while, and then the Republicans, it just goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, maybe it is. You know, I look at it like this, Sanford. Maybe there are checks and balances. Maybe that is okay. You know, do I agree with the far left? No. Do I agree with the far right sometimes? No. You know, it's you got to pick your poison and your fights. And I just look at, you know, I'm very conservative as fiscal matters go. But when it comes to ecology, now I'm more of a moderate, and I worry about our Verde River. I worry about our Earth. You know, I believe there is global warming. I don't necessarily believe that man caused it.
Wait a minute. It's not global warming anymore. Now it's climate change.
Oh, climate change.
Now, you know what it's going to be next?
What?
It's going to be temperature fluctuation. That's going to be the scourge of the whole thing.
Well,
temperature fluctuation.
Well, you look in Iceland where the ice packs have melted and they're finding Viking artifacts. So there was a northern passage by the Arctic in those days.
Right.
Was it caused by man? No, there wasn't very much man influencing the Earth then. And you look at the tree rings, when we had a lot of the Anasazi, if you will, that left here and I migrated somewhere else, you know, or Exodus, if you want. Those tree rings show that around 1300, 1400, we were extremely droughty.
Yep.
So it's not beyond the comprehension that we could get into this drought thing for 100 years.
And then when you add to that, Tom, the advocacy on behalf of environmentalists, and I mean really extreme environmentalists regarding timber management and forestry management. I remember when we had the Indian fire,
yes.
And in the aftermath of that, there was some guy, Jim somebody, who was calling himself the Friends of the Forest, and he was suing to keep the Prescott National Forest from removing the dead and down trees,
yes.
In the aftermath of the Indian fire.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact is that most of the problem in California and with these catastrophic wildfires is that we have too much fuel on the ground.
That's right.
And if we're going to allow people to live in these forests, then we have to manage them as if there are human beings living there. We can't just ignore that fact. And so tree thinning, like what's been going on here in the Lynx Creek Recreation Basin,
Prescott
for
Basin.
Instance.
Yes.
Yeah, between Costco and Lynx Lake, the amount of trees that have been removed in that area, it does make the forest look less lush, but it absolutely makes it look much more safe.
Much safer. And I'm hoping that people that are listening, too, I don't care if they're Verde or over in the Prescott side, you know, you need to do some of that work around your own home. When there's a catastrophic fire like they had up in Paradise, And the fire that we had here, the Indian fire, that could have been the same as Paradise. If that wind hadn't stopped and Dr. Collison and some of them hadn't done some of the work they did, that would have came in and literally houses would have popped. Yep. Just that you can see it in our films because I've been part of the wildland fire. A complete healthy green pine tree boils right as that fire line comes up, and it explodes like a hand grenade. These houses did the same thing. Now, I'm sure there'll be lessons to learn at Paradise that they didn't get enough warning to the people because folks died.
Yeah.
But that could have happened very easily here if that 45-mile-an-hour wind out of the southwest would have continued, and the whole town would have been gone. This is very, very serious. You know, the chances of an earthquake causing damage here, you can get one, but it's not really. Flooding a little bit, maybe along some of our creek beds. The real danger here, as we've always preached, it's fire. And it's not if, it's when. And so I'm hoping that we learn a lot of lessons. We learn lessons.
Goodwin fire.
Yeah, the Goodwin fire.
I tell you something, I was amazed, Tom, to see the houses in Grapevine Springs area that were spared. And it literally burned all around them.
Yeah,
and
Pine Flat, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, it was a
miracle, amazing, really, put on, you know, by firefighters who put their life on the line. And so please do what you can around your own home to thin out some of that ladder, what they call ladder material. So
defensible space.
You got it.
And, all right, well, we have a little defensible space between here and the end of the show, and let's take that break. We'll be right back with more Talk of the Town on KQNA AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and on the web at kqna.com.
At Sherrick Insurance in Cottonwood, we don't fudge when it comes to your coverage, but we'll give you fudge just for getting a quote from us. This is David Goldstein, and with every quote, we'll give you a card for free homemade fudge from Verde Valley Olive Oil Traders. Get a sweet treat and qualified coverage from a solid company like Safeco. Stop by our office at 657 East Cottonwood Street or call 567-0335. Let's save you some money and hand you some yummy. Sherrick Insurance, 567-0335.
How many Augie's locations are there worldwide? Well, the answer, of course, is one. The one and only Augie's, locally owned, locally operated, locally inspired by you, the people of the Quad Cities. Delicious steak, scrumptious salmon, huge shrimp cocktail, the best martinis bar none. Open every day for lunch and dinner, and ask about Augie's outdoor patio. The place to dine on Highway 69, the one and only Augie's Frontier Village.
What you're about to hear are factory-authorized savings. The 2018 Toyota models have got to go. At Findlay Toyota Prescott, now is the absolute best time to buy with the biggest factory rebates and lowest financing rates of the year. 2018 Toyota RAV4, now with $3,000 cash back or 0% for 60 months. 2018 Toyota Tundra, now with $3,000 cash back or 0% for 72 months. 2018 Toyota Highlander, now with $2,500 in factory rebates or 0% for 60 months. Toyota Sienna, now with $3,500 cash back or 0% for 60 months. Get all the style, performance, and value you deserve during the Findlay Toyota Prescott Factory Authorized Clearance Event. Thank you for voting Findlay Toyota Prescott the Daily Courier 2018 Reader's Choice Award for the best automotive dealership. Findlay Toyota Prescott and at FindlayToyotaPrescott.com.
Findlay Toyota Prescott, we are everybody's hometown dealer.
On approved credit, does not include tax, license, title, and 495 doc fees. Must finance through Toyota Financial. Offers expire 12/3/2018.
Are you looking for the perfect place to get all your printing done? Whether it's preserving precious family photos or vinyl graphics for your work truck, A&E Reprographics has you covered as your local one-stop print shop. Having served Northern Arizona for over 15 years, our customer service is unparalleled as we take care of both your personal and professional printing jobs. From brochures to baby shower invites, A&E Reprographics is your one-stop print shop.
We did it again! Cliff Castle Casino has been voted the number one casino in Arizona for 19 years in a row. All casinos have slot machines and table games. What they don't have is the level of commitment to guest satisfaction, friendly team members, and a warm and welcoming environment found at Cliff Castle Casino. Visit CliffCastleCasinoHotel.com today and plan your visit. Come and experience everything we have to offer and see why Cliff Castle Casino is number one and the perfect place to play.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
Yeah, just a couple minutes to go with Supervisor Tom Thurman. And, you know, we were talking about the situation with kids in the county and in the state. The foster kids program, there's, what, 15, 17,000 kids?
Between 14 and 17,000 children right now, in, just in Arizona in the foster care.
Which the alternative to that would be they'd be like on the street. So I guess that's good that there is such a thing.
But there,
for
it's,
them.
It's, you know, I did the foster care. We raised our kids and then we had our grandkids for a while. And then a situation came up there. We fostered a couple more girls and we ended up adopting them. And really turn their lives around. I have a big head on that. We really turn their lives around. But the new Mark Wahlberg movie that's out is really funny and a tearjerker. And I'm going to tell you that it's really sad to see these kids. They go, a lot of them go from foster parent to foster parents to foster parents.
Yep.
And it's not good. You know, if we do anything for people, we need to understand is that these children are in great need. Here in Yavapai County, a quarter of our children are living at the poverty level or less. And so, you know, this Christmas, please remember that. And so, Sanford, I appreciate you letting me come on your show here and there. I'm a busy boy. I'm not on as much as I used to be, but we appreciate the job you do.
Anytime. And for those of you tuning in, stick around for hockey and Mark Levin and lots more on Talk of the Quad Cities. And we'll be back tomorrow at 4 with Let's Talk Sports for you right here on KQ&A. A big thank you to Supervisor Tom Thurman as well as Supervisor Randy Garrison for joining us live here on Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Heading over to the Grand Marshal Gala down at the Plaza Ballroom tonight. We're going to honor Melissa Ruffner. She'll be the Grand Marshal in the Prescott Christmas Parade. So we'll see you down there in just a few minutes. And for the rest of you, enjoy your Thursday.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.